Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 39 of the Selling the Couch podcast. Man, I can't believe we've done 39 sessions. Thank you so much for taking the time to join and, more importantly, for sharing the message of the podcast with our colleagues. Today's podcast is actually all about networking, more of how to do in-person networking. I know that word networking often makes all of us cringe, but I think there's a lot of value in thinking about networking as an opportunity to build relationships. You know, one of the questions that I often ask clinicians when they come on the podcast is, how do you get referrals or how do you get your first client? And one of the themes that really comes up is this idea of actually taking the time to build relationships live, as opposed to like over email or randomly dropping off a business card at an office or something like that, or social media. And my guest today is Natalie Moore. Natalie is a marriage and family therapist intern, and she has developed some really great skills when it comes to building relationships. In today's session of Selling the Couch, we cover a range of those things, including what do you do when you are in those situations where you do have the opportunities to connect with others? And then more importantly, how do you follow up? And this very important question, which is, how do you actually put yourself in situations where you can be surrounded by people that can be potential referral sources for you? You know, one of the things that I had been really curious about is, are there certain categories or are there certain professions where it is better to network with those types of people? And so Natalie has actually learned quite a bit and she shares some of those tips with us today. This podcast session is all about just very practical tips on building authentic relationships with others. So here's my conversation with Natalie Moore from awakentheself.com. Hey, Natalie, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hi, Melvin. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited for our conversation. I feel like this is definitely an area we don't talk a lot about. You know, one of the first thoughts that I had in my mind was, in this day and age of social media where all we have to do is like log into Facebook and poke someone or like someone or comment on their post, or, you know, or we can call or send an email, because I think there's something safe about that, right? But you make this argument that actually connecting with people in person makes a huge difference. Why do you think that is?
Exactly. I agree with everything that you said. And the reason for that is, we as therapists, what we're best at is connecting with people. Mm. And we do that in a person-to-person very human way in our sessions. And so the best way for us to convey to other people, whether they're potential referral sources or people in our community, is through showing them how good we are at connecting by connecting with them and modeling for them those abilities that we have.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something very humanizing about it, and I think it totally plays into our strengths as clinicians.
Exactly. And it's also about setting yourself apart from the pack, because if a potential referral source or somebody in the community knows five different therapists that they're friends with on Facebook, they're much more likely to remember you if you're someone who they saw at an event and had a memorable personality or memorable smile or provided them with some type of resource afterwards. And so that can really help you stand out from others.
Right, because you're saying, because you've taken that effort to actually connect with them in person as opposed to like leaving a letter or some business cards at their office or something like that.
Exactly. It's much more personal. You know, the fact that email is so easy these days and sharing an article on Facebook is so easy these days means that it doesn't mean as much anymore, because you didn't just share that article with that person. You shared it with your 500 friends on Facebook. But if you specifically met that person at an event and then remembered that you talked about an article and then followed up with them later with an email and sent it to them, that's going to make a much bigger impression than simply posting something online.
How do you actually put yourself into situations where you can network and form these connections with individuals?
That's a really good question. I've noticed that a very underutilized resource for therapists is actually meetup.com. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've actually done a couple of meetups. They're pretty fun.
Yeah, they're really fun. And there's a meetup for everything you can possibly imagine. So there's meetups for mental health practitioners. There's meetups for people who are interested in health and wellness. And so getting on to meetup, joining those groups, and going to the events frequently is a really great way to meet people who are in your field and people who are interested in your field. And you can strike up conversations with them, because the idea of meetup is meeting new people and doing things together. So it's not strange if you walk up to somebody who you've never met before and introduce yourself, ask them what they do, and naturally tell them about what you do.
Right, because there's already this assumption that you're going there for a certain purpose.
Exactly. And there's a lot of other opportunities too. I've gotten onto a lot of different mailing lists, email newsletter lists for different organizations that are related to mental health and different professional associations. And those organizations are always sending out emails about different events they have going on in the community and different trainings that you can go to. And these are all great places to meet people that you'll want to network with.
Those are actually two great examples, meetup and then just joining email lists. So going back to that meetup, is there certain things that you search for to find these groups?
Yeah, I started out with typing in words that are directly related to my field. So things like mental health or therapists in private practice or psychotherapy, counseling, things like that. And I joined those groups, and I actually became involved in one called Mental Health Practitioners in Southern California. And now I'm actually starting events for them. I'm running a networking hike about once a month, and it's been a great way to meet people.
Yeah, and you've established yourself as sort of a leader of that group, right? And that, I think, that itself, I think, builds a sense of authority.
It does, and it makes you more memorable. If you're the person who planned the hike, they're much more likely to remember you than if you're just one of the participants on the hike.
Yeah, there's actually a meetup for private practitioners in Philly that I've connected with some amazing people.
That's great.
And then you said the second one was email lists. So is that like local or national organizations or both? Or how did you figure out which ones to focus on?
I decided to focus on local organization mailing lists because what I'm focusing on is the events that they're throwing. And so I want to make sure that the events are things in my area that are going to be convenient for me to be able to go to frequently. And so some of the ones that I've joined have been the professional associations like CAMFT and all of the local chapters here in Los Angeles where I live. And so they do a lot of events. And then I specialize in holistic psychotherapy. And so I've joined mailing lists for things that interest me, like mindfulness, meditation, Ayurvedic nutrition, things that are related to holistic well-being. And so that way I'm able to not only get information that's really valuable to me at these events, but also meet people who are like-minded and who are likely to be seeking the type of therapy services that I provide.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's something smart about that, which is you're expanding your influence outside of like the traditional networking areas that maybe other therapists would focus on.
Exactly. And I think that's a huge strength in the fact that I do holistic therapy because there are so many other areas that are related to it.
You mentioned earlier that one of the most important things is really setting yourself apart from the rest of the pack. And so what are some of the other things that you have found helpful to stand out?
One of them is to make sure that you have an elevator pitch that you're really comfortable with. And I know that that's a term that gets tossed around a lot, but it's actually really important. The idea of knowing exactly who your ideal client is and who your target market is very important to stand out because you want people to remember you as Natalie Moore. She loves doing holistic work. She loves working with kids, things like that.
You want something that's synonymous with your name.
Exactly. So that when somebody, you know, is talking to a friend and their child is having behavioral issues and the parents, let's say, want somebody who has a holistic approach, who isn't going to recommend that they just get psychotropic meds, for example, they're going to think, oh, Natalie is the perfect candidate for this client. It really helps you stand out when you know exactly what your specialty is and what your strengths are. So right. Focusing on that in your marketing instead of saying, I'm so-and-so, I see individuals, couples, families, all of this. You know, people can't remember that many things about you. So give them one or two things to remember and let that be your approach.
So in terms of like the elevator pitch at like a very practical level, is this like a couple of sentences or how long should it be? And if you want, you can totally do your elevator pitch.
Oh my goodness. Now you're putting me on the spot. I would say don't actually have two or three sentences memorized. I would say have a couple of bullet points that you know you want to focus on when you meet people. And then when you meet them, keep it as organic and natural as possible. Because if people can tell that it's an elevator pitch, then it's going to completely defeat the purpose
right.
of having one in the first place.
Right. No, I like that, though, thinking about it as bullet points, because it's a mindset difference, right? You're not thinking in terms of, oh, I gotta like spout out this thing that I memorized, but instead you're flowing into the existing conversation.
Exactly. Just like I did my elevator speech and you didn't even notice that I did it because I integrated it into our interview.
Yeah. I totally don't know what happened. You're a master at this.
Apparently.
So, you know, one of the things that you said was, I think a lot of times we get this idea of networking, right? And we get all sorts of crazy ideas of what networking is. We get all sorts of anxiety as clinicians. I have to go network. But what do you do actually in situations where you actually have met with these people, whether it's on a meetup group or some sort of an event that a local organization is throwing together?
That's a great question. And I think the most important thing to remember is that you really don't know who your potential referral sources are going to be. You have no idea. And so I think it's important to not decide, okay, how do I act with the people who are potential referral sources? And then I can just be my normal self with everyone else. You want to be your normal self with everyone that you come in contact with, because it's so important to be authentic and genuine in the work that we do. And so the important thing to do is understand that everyone is a potential referral source. And so connect with as many people as you possibly can on a daily basis. And the people who you really resonate with and seem like somebody that you'd want to keep in contact with, get their business card, which is really important. I'm just going to go on a side tangent about that for a second. When we think about networking, I, at least in the beginning, thought a lot about, oh, I got to get business cards and I have to hand out my business cards to as many people as I possibly can. But what I realized is if you hand out your business cards a lot, people are just going to throw them away, or, you know, it gets lost in their wallet and they never think of you. It's a lot more important to get people's business cards that you connected with, you felt a genuine connection, and follow up with them via email or a phone call and just tell them how nice it was to meet them and something that you enjoyed about your conversation with them. And like I said earlier, if you talked about an article, or if they talk about a training that they're going to in the future, follow up with them about that. Ask if they'd like to go together, or if they can send you the flyer for it. Just keep those connections strong by contributing to them.
Yeah, I mean, I like that shift in perspective, right? Thinking about, instead of how I can give away my business cards, more about trying to figure out and trying to build relationships with people, but then getting those business cards because you felt this genuine connection with them. That's such a different way of thinking about it.
Exactly, because you're not going to want to stay in contact with people who you didn't resonate with. So why do that? Keep in contact with the people that you had a connection with.
Yeah, well, and I think also it feels more, I would think it's like much less anxiety provoking if you saw it that way, right? Like going into an event thinking I have to give away all these business cards and I have to meet all sorts of people, you know, instead of thinking it more of relationship building and how can I connect and authentically connect with people that resonate with my message as well.
That's a really good point, especially for people who are not as extroverted. It can be a lot easier if they think of it in terms of, okay, I'm not going to try to connect with 200 people at this event. That's impossible and not realistic. Let me connect with maybe 5 people. And maybe out of those 5, I liked 2 or 3 of them. And then I can follow up with them on an email and ask if they want to get together and get a bite or a cup of tea. And we can talk about our mutual passions. We can talk about the work that we do and potentially collaborate together on something.
And then you were talking about following up with them. So after you've, you know, left the event, you have their business card. Usually, it sounds like you usually send some sort of follow-up correspondence. And what things have you found helpful? It sounds like email's been helpful. What else?
Email has been very helpful because I find that it's the most convenient way for people to stay connected. Some people prefer text messages. It really depends. You kind of get a sense for people when you meet them what their preferred way of communicating is. Mm.
How, like, you just kind of notice it, or you feel it, like, intuitively?
You can just, when they hand you your business card, you can just ask them, oh, what's the best way to get back in contact with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, and then you're then on a level that they're comfortable in, as opposed to trying to guess what they're comfortable with.
Exactly, because, you know, on a business card, there's 5 different modes of communicating with people these days. And so you can just ask them, what's the best way to get in contact with them? Or sometimes you can just get a sense if somebody says something in the conversation like, oh, I'll email you that link, or email me the meetup. You know, if they use a term in your conversation with them, then that's probably their preferred means of communication.
Right. So you really want to pay attention to keywords. I mean, much like when we're doing therapy, right? You really want to pay attention to focus or keywords.
Exactly. And I've had conversations before where people have even asked me, do you have an email list? As soon as we started chatting, they realized we had a lot in common and that we like going to similar events. And so they want to get on my email list because they want to find out what's going on in the area. They get a sense that I know what's happening.
Yeah, it's really cool. This is such a random question, but have you noticed that certain categories or certain professions of individuals like tend to be really good sources of connection and referrals over others?
I find that other therapists are my best referral source. I find that each therapist really has their niche that they're trying to build. And so they also, you know, accepting that niche, know that they can't work with everybody. There are a lot of therapists, for example, in Los Angeles who see older adolescents and adults only, and they don't work with kids. Either they don't have the scope of practice to work with kids, or they don't have the office space to work with kids. And so that's a great potential referral source for me because I love working with kids. So just finding out what types of clients the therapists who you are networking with like to work with, you can refer to them the types of clients that you don't work with and hope that they refer to you the types of clients that they don't work with. So it's a mutually beneficial referral relationship.
Well, and I think you're bringing up a good point, which is at the core of it, it's really important to, it doesn't have to mean it has to be done immediately, but at least over time, figure out the populations that you want to work with so that, you know, then you're working with the people that you want to work with and you're referring out people that may not be as of a good fit for you.
That's extremely important. I think it's one of the first things that any therapist going into private practice should do some soul searching on and figure out who their ideal client is. And it doesn't have to be one group of people. I like working with kids, but I also like working with young adults who have anxiety issues. And so you can have multiple niches. There's nothing that precludes you from doing that. But to find out at least a few groups that you like working with and deciding which groups you would prefer to refer out, whether it's out of your scope or out of your interest, because ultimately the clients that we really connect with are the ones who are going to get better, the ones who we really know how to help and really love helping. Those are the ones who are going to see the best results in the end.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Natalie, the last question that I have for you is, so I think when we sometimes go into networking events, right, we feel this sense of, okay, I have to network. And these are potential relationships I can build. But how do you hold that mindset or that position while like genuinely connecting with these folks, if that makes sense?
It does make sense. In a way, you have to get that thought out of your head. You have to realize that, like I said before, you don't know where your next referral is going to come from. You have no idea. So you kind of have to get the thought out of your head of, how do I network with this person? Just be yourself. Be genuine. Be authentic. Be yourself. And if you are genuinely a good therapist and a good person, then people will pick up on that and they will want to refer clients to you. And it works the opposite way too. If you are simply networking to get clients, people will sense that too, and they will get a bad vibe from you. So really just get that out of your head, be genuine, talk about the work that you do, talk about what your passions are. People will pick up on it. You don't need to be so direct.
Awesome. All wonderful tips. Natalie, how can folks get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me is to go to my website, which is awakentheself.com.
Awesome. And I'll put that in the show notes. Natalie, thank you so much for doing this. I feel like this is an area we don't talk a lot about, but it's so important, the importance of actually building relationships live and in person with individuals.
I think it's so important too, and I'm glad you had me on your show today.
Awesome. Take good care. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Natalie. That was a lot of fun, and I feel like I took away so many things from that conversation. You know, I don't know if you can actually tell based on this podcast, but I'm pretty introverted. I get a little bit more extroverted as I get to know people, but naturally I'm pretty introverted. And the thought of trying to do these networking things where I have to really connect with people and It just feels, just thinking about it, feels draining to me. But I love some of the perspectives that Natalie talks about. Even just going into a room, right, and not thinking that you have to talk to every single person in that room, that you really can focus on one or two people and really work on building authentic and deep relationships. I think a lot of times we forget that as clinicians, even though, you know, we may use this term networking or others may use that, at the end of it, it is all about relationship building, right? And we as clinicians are really good at that. And I think that's just something to remember. Show notes for today's episode can be found at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 39. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen and continuing to spread the word about the podcast. I just wanted to let you know that the pre-launch for the Healthcasters is officially open and will be open until Wednesday, September 9th, 2015 at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you're thinking about launching a podcast or have launched one already or anticipate launching one at any point, please check it out at sellingthecouch.com/thehealthcasters. This will be the first community, a podcasting community for the healthcare field. And I would love to support you on your podcasting journey. I've got tutorials and a private Facebook group and a range of different things to help you on your journey. Take good care and have a splendid week.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.